では後半のトーク、なんですが、今日はちょっと昔のトークをかけてみたいと思います。昔のというのは、2011年4月第4回の遥かなショーで、遥かなショー始まってすぐなんですが、クリスさんという方をお招きしてインタビューをしました。でクリスさんはアーバナ・シャンペイン・インディペンダント・メディア・センターに、その当時ラディカル・ライブラリアン・グループというのがあって、そのグループのメンバーで、でその5年半前、その4月にちょうどウェスト・ミッドウェスト・ジンフェスが開催されることになって、そこでクリスさんに、じゃあジンって何ですか、私全然その時ジン知らなくて、ザインって読むんかな、なんて読むんかなと思ってた、ジンって何ですか、ジンフェス何するんですかみたいな話を聞いています。でこれを今日もう一度お届けしたいと思っているんですが、なんでお届けしたいと思ったかというと、一つは、先々週リュウタさんがイベント情報とかで話してくださった時に、セントルイスのパブリックライバリーもジンコレクションがオープンしましたという話があったりとか、アバナフリーライブラリーでジンワークショップが今月の、最初にあったりとか、結構ジンって今もアメリカで展開してるなと思ったことと、それから同じく先々週私東京にわざわざ行ってきて、でイレギュラーリズムアシュランという、これ お店なんですが、インフォショップ、これインフォショップって何かっていうのもちょっとアメリカの場合どうなんだろうとか後で聞いてみたんですけど、イレギュラーリズムアシュラムというそういうお店に、いろんなジンが置いてあったり、本が置いてあったり、いろんな情報、ステッカーがあったりとか、するんですが、そこで中森圭次郎監督のコンスタレーションというドキュメンタリー映画があります、上映がされました。でどんなドキュメンタリーかというと、アジア、日本とか韓国、台湾、香港、インドネシア、マレーシアとかいろんな国の、を取材に行って、オルタナティブスペース、あるいはコレクティブ、を追った、ドキュメンタリーになっています。でこういろんな生き方、路上レストランだったり、コミュニティライブだったり、建材のリユース、家具作りだったり、アートコレクティブだったり、版画だったり、目的は違うけどいろんな思いを持った人が DIY な共同スペースを作りながら、こうどうやって生き抜いていくかというような映画なんですね。でそれ見て、あれアメリカで、あるいは私が調査をしているイギリスでこの5年間6年間見てきたことと、このアジアで DIY なスペース、オルタナティブスペースと、監督が言っているスペースの、映像と何度か似てたり、言っていることが共通していたりするなと思って、そこでちょっと私が最初にジンというものを知った、このクリスさんのインタビューをもう一度聞いてみようかなと思って、今これ聞いたら、リスナーの方はどんなふうに思われるかなと思って、これを紹介しようと思いました。なのでまずは英語なんですが、ちょっと聞いてみてください。2011年4月22日第4回遥かなショークリスさんのインタビューです。トムさん、 R1 please go。
クリス、 thank you very much for coming 遥かなショー。 So first, could you pronounce Zin?
Sure, it's pronounced Zin.
Zine, sorry. Zine, yeah. Okay. So.
And it comes from the word fanzine. Fanzine.、kind of like magazine, the same pronunciation.But in United States culture, fanzine sort of started as a,、just an early response,、small publications, pamphlets,、folks who were fans of different...science fiction novels in the early 20th century.
Early 20th century?
Yes.
So at that time you also have zine about
yes, in different forms. So
different
so the qualifying factors of what makes a zine mm-hmm. a zine is that it's a small handmade often publication or it's mm-hmm. copied. It's not a large scale media distribution. Often they zines can express the authors of zines express radical or outside the mainstream viewpoints that are censored in the mainstream media. So their content tends to be outside that mainstream, mm-hmm. but not always.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so they range in a variety of subjects now.
Uh-huh.
So, from
sometimes very radical.
sometimes very radical political, yes. That's
yeah,
correct.
Political, yeah. Uh-huh. So how were you interested in zine?
I became interested in zines after moving to Urbana.
Mm-hmm.
Several years ago. I had not known about the zine mm-hmm. genre, but I'm a librarian. I went to school to be a librarian, and so this is what I do in my professional life. And mm-hmm. So zines are an interesting thing to me as an object to be described and provide access to. It's often a challenging thing because they're not like regular books or articles or magazines. I'm interested in them because of their outside the mainstream viewpoints.
Mm-hmm. So you were a professional librarian and you were interested in the zine?
Yes, I am. I got involved in our library here, mm-hmm. Which houses many zines. While I was in graduate school,
uh-huh.
and I've continued to do that, mm-hmm. along with a couple other friends who mm-hmm. are in the same.
So do you make them by yourself, or correct, or interesting in some specific topics?
Well, right now we collect whatever we can get for as little money as possible. So we go to zine events like the one we are hosting next week
mm-hmm.
And trade zines that we have made. I have made just one or two small informational zines.
Mm-hmm.
One is about our library itself, so we use that to promote our library and try to get other people who make zines to send us copies uh-huh. of their zines.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working on a zine, my first, I guess, real zine, on my own mm-hmm. For the Midwest Zine Fest. So
uh-huh.
I hope to have some copies of it to trade
yeah.
Next Saturday.
Mm-hmm. So how did you learn how to make zine? You said before you didn't know anything, but now you can make your own zine. It is easy to...
Well, yeah, it's easy to get started. So there are lots of different ways and mm-hmm. formats to make zines.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it helps to have access to some zines or some other people who know about making them
mm-hmm.
And to learn from one another. That's really there's a large do-it-yourself culture in the United
mm-hmm.
States. So zine making is very much about that.
Mm-hmm. But usually we cannot see zine in usual library. So where can I see or touch or take the zine?
Well, so depending on where you live, there are zines in libraries, regular
mm-hmm.
public libraries or academic libraries. So many of them have, many libraries do have collections of zines. For instance, in the large cities,
mm-hmm.
it's more prevalent. Where else can you find zines? Well, in local record stores. So independent record stores and bookshops often
uh-huh.
carry
mm-hmm.
Zines on consignment.
Uh-huh.
So a zine maker can bring their zines into a shop and ask the proprietor to stock them and sell them.
Uh-huh.
And often they'll take a percentage of that or something like that. They'll make an agreement about the
mm-hmm.
sale and the cost and such. So our record store, one of our record stores here in Champaign, Exile on Main Street, it's called, has a couple of two or three zines that local folks produce.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way. Others are there's some independent bookstores and info shops, other sorts of, you know, more outside the mainstream collective spaces like the Independent Media Center. These centers exist in many, many cities.
Mm-hmm.
So these are good places to go and look for zines.
Oh, I don't understand what you said, independent bookstore.
Yes.
Independent bookstore means not commercial for commercial.
Well, purposes. It can be a commercial enterprise, but it's not, so you're not going to go to Barnes & Noble, for instance, or Borders Books, which are large chain bookstores, large corporate entities, and you're not going to probably find zines there because they're just not marketable on that large of a scale, or at least they don't, the owners of those chains don't think so. Or they don't want the kind of content that they're going to find in zines to appear on their bookshelves. So often zines are in not non-commercial bookshops, but those that are not owned by large corporations or smaller scale, owned by someone, some person. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. So in the IMC also, you have very good collection of zines.
We do.
Could you explain about your activities of radical librarian group?
Sure, I certainly can. So the radical librarian group at the Independent Media Center, you know, what makes us radical is I think that we are open to providing access to many viewpoints, and you certainly find that in other libraries as well. And I think that the library profession is certainly one that is about providing access to information that they want or need, which is itself kind of a radical act when you think about the conglomeration of media in our corporate culture, corporatized culture in the United States, and how really the large media corporations are very focused on making themselves the only voices that we consume. And so providing an independent space where, you know, you or your neighbor or, you know, that guy who lives in the corner under a box, you know, we all have ideas and viewpoints and deserve to have a space to, you know, hear about those things or read about other people's viewpoints. And so that's really what the Radical Librarians group is about, is we have this collection of zines and we have a collection of books as well that have been donated. And many of the topics are on, you know, just a variety of subjects of interest to independent artists and media activists and other folks who are just living in this community.
Like the, what kind of topics? I saw the 2 weeks ago in some small exhibition at the book sale in the IMC. You showed some many kinds of zine on the table.
Yeah.
There's many kinds, health and race and science. And,
sure. So there are many different subjects, and I couldn't possibly list all of them right now, but many zines, many zines are about, a typical fanzine to connect to its origin is about, or written by someone who's a fan of a particular band or group or genre of science fiction genre. That's how that started. So in the 1970s and 80s, you know, many independent bands, you know, were given, they produced their own zines to promote themselves because they couldn't get, you know, airplay or they couldn't get articles written about them. So it's a very independent, underground-type movement that was based on do-it-yourself, self-promotion, because other large scale companies weren't going to help promote them. Uh-huh. And they were very successful at it, and many of them became actually larger scale magazines mm-hmm. that made money. So in the IMC library, we have lots of different kinds of zines. So we have zines that people write about themselves, a personal zine. Mm-hmm. They just write about their lives. We have DIY zines. So there's several, uh-huh. a collection of, how to fix your bicycle is mm-hmm. a popular topic. Or cookbooks is another popular topic. Uh-huh. You know, how to make vegan food. Uh-huh. For instance, mm-hmm. Is very popular in the cookbook area. There are zines about health and sexuality. There are zines about sex itself. Mm-hmm. There are zines about all different subjects. So you name it, you mm-hmm. can find it. And there are a lot of zines about LGBT or transgender issues. So really those... If you have an idea about what you might want to read, there's probably a zine about it.
Uh-huh. So what you said about corporate culture. And the corporate culture
media. Sure, mm-hmm. I can speak to what I meant by corporate mm-hmm. culture. Corporate media. Mm-hmm. I think that's
corporate
what
media.
So zines themselves are what I would call a response to that large-scale corporate culture. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that, at least in the United States and in other countries, I'm certain as well, mm-hmm. that companies, large companies that produce media messages on mm-hmm. the radio, and, you know, on radio stations and on television stations and on the internet, large-scale media companies have a voice that represents their mm-hmm. own interests, uh-huh. right? And so what I mean that zines are a response to that is that they provide a different type of voice, mm-hmm. a voice that is often not heard in those corporate streams mm-hmm. of media. So zines tend to be distributed and produced in sort of underground-ish networks. Mm-hmm. So by the postal mail, for instance, mm-hmm. or... in bookstores where not everyone likes to go or might go, uh-huh. They tend to serve the information needs mm-hmm. of people who are outside the mainstream. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And as we know, the mainstream culture can very much exclude some groups of people. Mm-hmm. So zines represent alternative viewpoints. Mm-hmm. And people use them to get their voices expressed when that corporate media doesn't allow mm-hmm. it or uh-huh. Censors it. Does that help clarify? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very interesting. And could you explain about the Midwest Zine Fest?
Yeah, absolutely.
Exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. So this is, our group won a grant last year from mm-hmm. the Urbana Arts, the Public Arts Council. The mm-hmm. city of Urbana provides some funding for initiatives that your groups can apply for some money. Mm-hmm. So what we have done over the last year or so is to do workshops with different groups, mm-hmm. Making zines and promoting zines. And mm-hmm. the Midwest Zine Fest is the culmination of that effort from that grant initiative. It's the first ever zine fest in Urbana, at least in the last 10 years or so. We've researched it, and I don't think that there's been been one in the past. So mm-hmm. a zine fest is a gathering of people who like to read and people who make zines. Mm-hmm. And we will come together. We will trade zines and talk about them, and mm-hmm. people will be selling their zines. And we'll have speakers who have written zines in the past and, workshops as well. So it's kind of a celebration of uh-huh. all this culture around zines.
Uh-huh. So any person can come?
Any person can come. Mm-hmm. It's free and open to the public. Mm-hmm. We will solicit donations. Mm-hmm. But, yes, there's no admission fee. if you would like to exhibit, if you have zines to sell and you want to do that officially on a table, there is a charge. And so some people, but for anyone who just wants to come and hang out, hear a presentation or a talk, there's a lot of exciting things happening.
So maybe I can learn the skill of how to make zine.
You certainly will be able to, yes. One of the workshops will be open zine making.
Open zine making in the
zine library. Mm-hmm. So just anyone, we'll have volunteers there just working on different zines and the supplies and things to do that. We'll also have one of our featured workshops is to learn to make a linoleum block cut print. So a block that is inked and that you can use to make an art print on the on your cover. And there's a variety of other workshops that will be happening too. So, yeah.
Yeah, very interesting and exciting.
If you want to learn to make a zine, you'll definitely be able to do that. Thank you again, Mugiko, for having me on your show, and I hope to maybe read some Japanese zines in the future.
I will bring. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is an interview with Chris from Radical Librarian Group of UCIMC on April 22nd, 2011.